Thank you, Jonathan Gray, for your amazing work. And, of course, you've written books over a number of years. They're available at your website, ebooks and videos. Let's talk about some of the key principles. What's changed in the last few days and weeks is the Hildebeest has achieved enough delegates to become the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. She's a total globalist, totally corrupt. She used the State Department as her hedge fund. And now we have, unfortunately, the lack of action on the part of people like Donald Trump, who I support, realizing the total reality that he's dealing with an Islamic and a globalist cabal that are levels of evil beyond what he at least publicly admits to. And we have people like Bernie Sanders who won't challenge the Muslim in the White House with his political jihad. And the jihad of murder, as Bill Borner tries to say, is very stark and very scary. But these other jihads that are occurring right now, the invasion of Europe, the Hiraj, and the invasion of America, which, by the way, the Hildebeest plans on five times as many people coming into the country with open borders, with almost certainly increased terrorism, with almost certainly increased Islamic extremism, with almost certainly the need for chipping and or tattooing all American citizens to be safe in stadia or in shopping centers. We're moving toward a totalitarian state that the globalists are literally shepherding us like animals around a curved building called an abattoir or slaughterhouse. So, Jonathan, let's talk about your four videos and exactly how crazy the situation is.
Well, Bill, there have never been so many pieces of prophecy ready to move together. It's absolutely outstanding. These DVDs touch on, in a round sense, what is happening. The first DVD we've titled "The Invasion of America, Europe, and Australia and the West."
Right.
Terrorists swarming into position with millions of refugees ready. The second one is why the Vatican created Islam.
Right.
And we answer the question, who is controlling the power moves? Third one is the coming Muslim empire and Israel. Will the emerging caliphate seize Jerusalem? And prophecies 2,500 years old that are coming to pass at this very moment as we speak. The fourth one is World War III and how to survive. What the elite has planned for you.
Right.
Political, financial, and religious, and how to survive it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and in other words, you provide solutions that deal with all kinds of realms, with both the physical and spiritual survival. Because you have to understand, if you don't have a spiritual survival plan, the other things aren't going to work.
That's right. And we're not here to scare people. What we want is to wake up people so that they can survive.
Well, I think when you provide solutions, I don't think it's really scare. I think we're trying to provide people with a reality check and a plan to survive what's coming.
That's true, yes. That's the whole purpose of it.
Right.
We just don't want to scare people to death. We want them to be confident that they can survive and that their families and their loved ones with them will come through this successfully.
Exactly, yeah. So let's go through some of the details of what you have in your first DVD set. Because when people go through these DVDs, I mean, we're in stark shock. I mean, when we went through them, my wife couldn't put them down. She said, it was really late, and then we finished the last one. It's like, oh my gosh, Bill. This is real. It really is. I mean, you've been talking about, she said to me, about this stuff for like 20 years plus. But now we're here. I said, yeah. Yeah, we're here. This isn't even disputable anymore. If you see the biblical and logical analysis of the facts, and they line up particularly with the same prophecies within Islam and the same things geopolitically that are open to anybody that just wants to go on the internet or the news media, these things aren't open to dispute anymore, are they?
No, there's no dispute about it. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is, Bill, that the scripture that touches on these things is consistent right through from what we call the Old Testament to the New Testament. The symbolism, the figures of speech, they're all explained. There's nothing left to man's guesses.
Right. And what's interesting, there may be a number of scribes, but there's only one author, and that's the author is the Most High God.
That is right. And when he gives something to one prophet, he gives compatible information to another prophet, and you put them both together, you get a fuller picture. And right. So over the years, he has been giving us a slowly developing scenario so that when the events come, all of the facts are there together, and they all are consistent with each other.
Yeah. I would say the metaphor I'd use is God gives the answers and the unlocking keys of the questions to different authors to prove that the authors did not author this out of their heart or their intellect, but out of God's infinite wisdom.
Well, I think you put that very well, yes. That's very true.
Yeah.
Now, it's very interesting, you know, that the term for the Arab and Muslim scenario that we're seeing in the world today, the Bible calls it, actually, the swarming locusts. And the swarming in, you just look at the pictures on the internet, they're swarming in like locusts. So you can't mistake the scenario given in the Bible is absolutely accurate. And it also says that they have tails like scorpions. You know that the singular characteristic of a scorpion is that it will commit suicide when confronted. And suicide bombers also intend to sting their enemy like a scorpion.
Wow. That's an interesting analogy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this is scriptural. Now, interestingly, two times in the prophecies, God gives attention to breastplates that are worn by the Muslims. Now, our Lord wants us to distinctly notice the arms and mode of warfare being introduced. And you'll notice also that there is a number given. The number of the army is 200,000. Now, that's 200 million.
Right.
Now, it's quite intriguing that there are over 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, and out of that number, approximately 200 million have been declared by secular authors to be radical fundamentalists who could become suicide bombers. Now, it's a chilling thought that the number being secularly quoted by secular historians and observers of news today is the same figure given in the biblical prophecy, 200 million.
Wow. So that number would have to occur to our time because there wasn't enough human beings on the earth until the last century to actually accomplish this numerically.
That's right. There wasn't. The time is now.
Yeah. Right. Please continue.
And it mentions the breastplates, of course. The breastplates is something you tie around the front of your stomach, and it gives the color. It says breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. Now, our attention's drawn to these breastplates, and the fire and jacinth are a perfect description of an explosion. And brimstone, which is sulfur, is the main ingredient in gunpowder. So here we have an illustration of a suicide bomber detonating his vest.
Wow.
It's perfect. The scripture is amazing, the way it gives the scenario here of how right. They're going to work.
Now, I expect a major terrorism to happen in America between now and Election Day in November. And I expect more in Europe as well. I mean, the issues in Paris and Brussels were just the starter, weren't they?
Oh, yes. That was just the opening. Interestingly, Bill, I had three emails from a German doctor wanting to speak to me urgently last night, only about 12 hours ago. And this person phoned me and confirmed beyond any doubt that what we have put out in these DVDs, and she hadn't seen the DVDs, but she's also the author of a 100-page magazine that's in all the newspaper shops right through Germany. And she's getting it translated to go across Europe. And when we started talking, she was amazed that we talked about the three woes on the phone. And she said, this is precisely the third woe, as it's described, is precisely what's happening under my own eyes right here in Germany right now. And she confirmed that on the phone. So we're going to be in further communication.
Wow. So, by the way, the German audience is second in terms of total number of hits to America. You'd think it might be Canada or somewhere else. It's Germany. And they're under the brunt of this because Angela Merkel has caused more destruction of their nation with the illegals to their country than any other nation in Europe. And other nations have tried to stand up against it, Hungary and other Balkan nations. But Germany has allowed the doors to be wide open.
That is right. And this doctor was absolutely mad at the leadership of Germany because they are under the control of an outside force force which is working against the German people. The German people don't want this to happen. The German leaders are saying, open the borders, let them come in.
Yeah, well, that's Angela Merkel's a globalist, obviously.
Oh, yes. And there's a very strong link there to a big city that was once the headquarters of the Roman Empire and a religious organization in that city. There's a big link with Angela Merkel and that organization.
Yeah. So please continue.
Now, I noticed that Pope Francis invited the highest figure in Sunni Islam. That's Al-Hazza. He comes from the Al-Hazza Mosque in Cairo.
Right.
His name is Sheikh Ahmed Al Tayeb. He went to the Vatican just a little while ago. This news was released just about a week ago, and he said, "I invited this man, and the report is that they had a civil discourse as to how they can accomplish both their aims." And here was Pope Francis' words. "The idea of conquest is inherent in the soul of Islam. Jesus sends his disciples to conquer, so you and I have the same idea of conquest. Let's join together."
Wow, that's weird.
Now, you see, that was a misquoting of Scripture, of course. But,
he's the devil. And I believe that we are facing, with this current pope, the false prophet.
Well, he certainly is proving his colors, no question about that. We have to look at, there are three parts of the world we must keep our eyes focused on.
And by the way, when I say that statement, I want to mention something I'm sure you'll have a response to. I've been doing a lot of study and prayer over the last few years, actually 7.5 years, and I believe in the person of Barack Obama, we have the full distillation of the best candidate to be the Imam Mahdi, the last Mahdi, in history, that he is both energizing the warring sides of Sunni and Shiite Islam, making deals with the mullahs in Iran, and on the other hand, totally supporting the ISIS and ISIL in America, and criticizing them on one level, on the other level, supplying with all the weapons and the technology and $150 billion to the Iranians that make missiles that have both in Farsi and Hebrew the death to Israel. So what I see happening is that the best person that will be the peacemaker that will bring about a Palestinian state and a peace between Sunni and Shiite Islam is Barack Obama. Whether he's the president or he's the UN General Secretary, which, is, by the way, he's vying for that job.
Well, there you are. And of course, he has already declared that if a war comes between the United States and Islam, he'll be on the side of Islam.
Isn't that bizarre?
An American president saying something like that.
He should be impeached just for that.
Yes. That's enough to qualify.
Yeah. Please continue.
Okay. Now, coming to the where we've got to be watching, we should be watching events in America. People around the world should have their focus on America, Europe, but particularly on the Vatican. This is where the big power moves are being initiated. And America being the only country that was ever established on biblical principles and declared that so in its constitution.
Right.
Then we have Europe, which is the place where world events have been focusing for so long, and it's by no means stopping now. It's coming alive, and what happens in Europe is going to happen in America. The two are going to be together in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the two young lions, as it says in the Bible, and you can probably reference to that, about the young lions. The lion tamers are out. The globalists are out there with the Transatlantic Partnership and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TTIP, which the Germans recently protested in when Obama visited Germany. The German people are totally know that they're about to be captured into a fortress Europe where Germany is going to be shackled again with totalitarianism, which they did. The bankers did with World War I and II was supporting Adolf Hitler. Hitler arose because the bankers supported him.
Yes. Yes. It's the same powers operating, actually.
Right.
And now this is just their last, this is their last move before they believe they're going to take control of the world.
Right.
We're living to see it, and we're going to live through it.
Uh-oh. Live through it or die through it, one of the way,
or
one
die
or the
through
other.
It. That's right. Now, I don't know if I mentioned in the last broadcast that in this new caliphate that's coming, we've got this to be focused first of all on Turkey. Turkey is the, in the eyes of the Muslim world, Turkey is the place where this third jihad starts. And it's clear that the invasion of Europe by Muslims has begun, and several million refugees, so-called, remain isolated in Turkey, while Turkish President Erdogan holds the rest of Europe hostage. Now, what's
right.
he doing?
Yeah.
He's demanding billions of dollars in aid, and failure to pay what amounts to nothing short of protection money will force him to release these hordes of people on the whole of Europe.
They're not taking the ones back that they already imported into Europe. So basically, he's basically like a mob boss saying, no, I don't want to do that deal. Here's the deal. Give me more money. And also allow 40 million plus Turkic peoples that aren't just from Turkey, but from Turkic empires like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, etc., Azerbaijan, to come in, including from North Africa and the Middle East, to come in through Turkey and this Turkic now super state that's now part of the European Union, to flood Europe immediately with up to 40 million estimated Muslims. 40 million.
That is right. And following months of appeasement of Turkey's dictator, Recep
right.
Erdogan, Europe has found itself surprised that as it yields to every incremental demand, Turkey simply asks for more and more.
Yeah. They're stupid, aren't they? They negotiate just as well as the idiot Obama. I mean,
yes.
Really is a moron.
And Erdogan's argument is that he wants the money to be transferred over to him directly to dispense with as he pleases. And
right.
Europe's been insisting that United Nations agencies oversee that the money be spent as designated for refugee needs, instead of funding another wing for Erdogan's palace or whatever he
the
wants.
The largest palace built in human history.
Yes.
The largest palace built in human history on planet Earth by Erdogan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Head of the new Neo-Ottoman Empire.
That's
by the
it.
Way, he got enraged when Germany insisted that 1.5 million Armenians were killed as a genocide. And Tayyip Erdogan, this maniac in Turkey, got angry with the Germans and said, you know, obviously they want to really put the gears to Germany now, since Germany stated that it was a genocide of the Armenians by Turks. And welcome back. And so, Jonathan, a lot of people might say that, you know, it's just your opinion. For example, even when I talked to Bill Warner, he was surprised when I mentioned the genesis of Islam. It literally came with a collaboration and a fostering by the Vatican of Islam. And now, of course, they've returned with the Jesuits after, you know, many centuries. And the Jesuits now, who probably were involved originally with setting up Islam, are now pushing Chrislam and saying that the Quran is equivalent to the Bible, and they've actually had ceremonies in the Vatican regarding this so-called new truth.
Oh, yes. They're making these claims, of course, if you probably go on the internet, you'll see the Pope kissing the Quran.
Yeah, and he doesn't even spit out afterwards.
He's actually claiming that the Quran and the Bible are the same.
That's very nasty, especially when you'll take, you know, this fact that Islam, and this is all Islam, not just light, you call Islam light, as Bill Warner says, teaches that when Jesus returned, his name is Isa, like Daryl Isa, who was our local congressman here in Southern California, Isa, that Isa will return as a Muslim, and he'll behead Christians that don't convert to Islam.
Well, yes, they're teaching this.
Yeah, they're teaching this. Now, so if you get some moderate Islamic doctor or engineer or other person, challenge them with these facts, because they'll use taqiyya and maruna to lie to your face about the fact, oh no, we're moderate Muslims. We don't believe in pushing Sharia law when we become a large minority in Deerfield, Michigan. We don't believe in jihad. Yes, but many of the people will stand aside because they don't want to get in the way of elements within their mosque that are jihadists or do want to support Sharia law, because they don't want to have a fatwa put on their head and have their daughter killed on the way to school. So they're gutless, and they're complicit by their silence, just like Americans are complicit. And I want to put this word out to those. This is a warning word. I'm praying for you Americans that have voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm praying that God will bring you grace, because if he doesn't, he's going to bring you judgment. Their blood of many people on not only America, but around the world, beyond your hands, if this witch, this Hilda beast gets in there. So I'm warning you right now, judgment, I'm praying hard for God's grace first, but judgment on those who vote for this monster to get into our White House.
Well, it's very obvious that what you're saying is true. I think the facts are speaking loud and clear. America's in great danger if she does this.
Yeah, well, I talk to people, and we even know people we know, and you ask them, why did they vote for Hillary? And when you parade out a few facts like the corruption all the way back to Mena, Arkansas, and Vince Foster, and the slush funds, and using the State Department as a slush fund to get money to put in their own private foundation, and this private university that was pushed by Bill Clinton, he made $16.5 million over 4 years. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It goes on so much. Just like, and by the way, I want people to know this. I expect, if we had the actual numbers, that the Clintons themselves only have murdered 10% of the people that disrespected them and were knocked off. 90% were knocked off by the overlords that control Bill and Hillary Clinton. People need to understand what's going on here and how they're puppeteered by really evil people like George Soros and globalists. You probably don't even know their name or what they look like. That's how bad this is.
Yeah, don't look at what you're seeing. What your eyes show you is only a fraction of the truth.
Right.
The men in the shadows are the ones to be thinking about.
Right. So please continue.
Now, I think we'll just have a little thinking about this Jerusalem and the coming caliphate. A Sheikh Kamal Khatib, deputy leader of the Islamic movement in Israel, has announced publicly on television, Jerusalem will be the capital of the coming righteous Islamic caliphate, to which the entire earth will become subordinate. Now, he was not alone in this. A noted Egyptian cleric, Safwat Hegazi, told supporters in Cairo, the capital of the caliphate, the capital of the United States of the Arabs, our capital shall not be Cairo. It shall not be Mecca. It shall not be Medina. It shall be Jerusalem.
Right.
And then we go up to Turkey. During the inauguration of the 55th airport in Hakkari province, and by the way, this airport has been deliberately named after a man called Saladin in history who conquered Jerusalem. The Prime Minister of Turkey, Ahmet Davutoglu, and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan called for the re-establishment of the Ottoman Empire, remember we have been mentioning this earlier,
right,
and the invasion of Jerusalem. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the oldest terrorist organization in the world, recognizes Turkey as the strategic place to first re-establish the caliphate. And according to their plans, as soon as the caliphate is formed and a new caliph is seated in Istanbul, he will declare global jihad, beginning with the annihilation of Israel. That's their plan. And then move their seat to Jerusalem, then continue with their jihad throughout the world. Now, we're looking at the first step. It's been going on for several months now. The current invasion of Europe and America is only the first step. But it's an essential first step.
Right. And remember now, their goal is threefold. Number one is a caliphate in Jerusalem. Number two is a Palestinian state. Number three is a so-called pseudo-peace, where the Jews turn a blood sacrifice on the Temple Mount at the springs of Gihon below the Eastern Gate, not on the Temple of Antonius, And that is the abomination that desolates, because the desolation is the formation of a Palestinian Muslim state. Right? Donald Fagan is telling us it is the last call. By the way, out there, if you think that you know better than Jonathan Gray, Bill Warner, or Dr. Bill Deagle, bring it on. And don't start off with ad hominem attacks. I won't tolerate it. Do show logic. If you've read the Bible, or if you've read the Hadith, if you've read the Shura, or if you understood what Bill Warner has by making an English version that's actual lineal time, if you look at the videos that Jonathan Gray has put together, you will be in a state of apoplectic shock. You'll realize that your pastors of your so-called pseudo-churches, your happy churches, don't want to talk about prophecy or current world events. They don't want to give your people in the church responsibility to change those events by becoming agents of change. Remember, being a Christian is not a noun, it's a verb. If you're an agent, you respect God or you fear God, you don't respect men. Jonathan, please continue.
Yes. Bill, we were talking about the Muslim plan to establish a third caliphate, and this would be initially set up in Istanbul, ancient Constantinople, then declare global jihad, beginning with the annihilation of Israel, moving their seat to Jerusalem, and continuing the jihad throughout the world. That's their plan.
Right.
Now, we just started to mention that the first step is the current invasion of Europe and America, and they're getting into position behind our borders for the global jihad. And no one guessed it would happen in this manner with the supposed migration. This invasion of mostly young men actually has taken the world by surprise.
Right.
But when you look at the prophecies again, Bible prophecy, this is exactly what God has been telling us.
They're the human locusts that are coming to eat the land.
That is right, to swarm in. It's a sign which foreshadows the great day of the Lord that's to follow.
Right.
And this huge swarm to be housed and fed threatens to collapse the financial stability of the West. And their plan is that once the Western powers are weakened by this Trojan horse, they will not be able to stop the Muslims moving upon Jerusalem.
Right.
And if we go to the prophecy of Daniel, in fact, the very last verse in that chapter 11 prophecy, which is an amazing prophecy, it says, "He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace," that's his seat of government, "between the seas in the glorious holy mountain." And to paraphrase that, the Islamic caliphate shall plant his seat of government in Jerusalem. Now, the seas are between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. The glorious holy mountain right through the book of Daniel is the city of Jerusalem.
Right.
But...
please continue.
But it says, "He shall come to his end, and none shall help him."
Well, I would say, if I'm just going to hypothesize, and I want to hear your word on this, because we've been talking about this video for about a month or so. If I was to say, suppose, say, next year, Obama doesn't create a third term by creating martial law, becomes a UN General Secretary in the next few years, is able to not only energize Sunni and Shiite Islam, but also to bring about peace, to say, look, I will set up through the United Nations a Palestinian state, I'll bring peace to Jerusalem, but I'll have the caliphate there as well, and I'll allow the Jews to start blood sacrifice, and I'll create a Palestinian state, so Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Arab Emirates actually will put Israel on the map, because they will now have a Palestinian state, which is a Muslim state, and they'll have the Jews starting a blood sacrifice with the Pope, collaborating, as he did last September. Remember now, the Pontifex and the POTUS collaborated with 72 world leaders to set up the final, if you want to call it, jihad against planet Earth, with the globalists and the Muslims, collaborating with world leaders, and the Jesuits, literally the false prophet, meeting with the, quote, potential Imam Mahdi. The Mahdi, to me, is the ideal candidate to be the Antichrist. The ideal candidate to be the Mahdi is Barack Obama, whose name means lightning. And what does Obama mean in Kenyan? The one who has come. So he's coming as literally a peacemaker, but he makes war and destruction and death.
Well, the prophecies do say that by peace they shall destroy many.
Right. And I guarantee you that Obama, on the one hand, publicly states he wants peace, but behind the scenes, he's energizing war both in Iran and in Sunni Islamic states to create this jihad, to create the circumstances for a caliphate, and to have a dark alliances between the globalist elite and Islam to create a new world order. It's a Muslim collaboration under the auspices of all the global elite, like George Soros. They want this, and eventually they know that the crusades against Islam will destroy both Islam and the Christian West, and they'll declare this new, you will call atheistic, satanic, global, new so-called pseudo-religion as a new world religion for the 21st century.
And that, believe it or not, will be led by the Vatican.
That's right. The Vatican wants to be the head, again, of the world, because if you actually look at the titles that the Vatican has, the Vicar of Christ, literally the head of the free world, he wants to be the dictator of Earth.
That's right. He's made that very, very clear.
Right.
There's no one else that qualifies to be the spiritual leader, in his opinion, except the Vatican.
Right. I mean, even the head of the World Council of Churches, and he's participated, or the previous popes have participated, in shamanistic and Muslim religious activities. It's just an abomination, and that's why I love the quote from the Book of Revelation. It says, "Behold, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and of abominations on the earth." That's the Vatican. That's the Jesuits. And it's not a recent thing. It's a thing that's always been there since Constantine took over the, quote, early church called the Way, flooded it with pagans, and literally people try to say he was a Christian. They say, oh, we had a deathbed conversion. Deathbed conversions of people that don't show by their activities that they're converted are not saved. So Constantine was not saved.
No, he wasn't.
Right.
He paved the way for the abomination of desolation to follow.
Exactly. So in other words, in a sense, Constantine was the first archetype of the Antichrist, and the last one, again, will be another pagan, Muslim, satanic leader, and none other than Mr. Barack Obama is the current best candidate on earth, because a false prophet is there now. I believe Barack Obama, especially when he moves over as UN General Secretary, will be that agent, or if he's a third-term president, in his third term he will accomplish all these evils.
Well, we'll watch this one, because he certainly is not an American in heart. He's
right.
A Muslim.
Right.
And he's got their Muslim worldwide caliphate as his big love affair.
And by the way, they have a direct alliance with the British Empire, because the United Nations is just a reincarnation of the British Empire. And I like to refer to the Queen of England as a dragon queen.
Very good.
Yeah, please continue.
Now, there's an interesting development here, which takes us back to early history, which I have not mentioned before. The prophet Isaiah speaks of our time as the day of the east wind. Now, the book of Revelation talks about four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that
right.
The wind shall not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, this actually is linked up in chapter 9 with the Muslims. And the winds coming out, wind is in scripture, it symbolizes strife, commotion, hurricane-like warring. It's violence. Violence upon the world.
Right.
And Isaiah calls it the day of the east wind, because it's coming from the east. Now, you'll notice that if you go back to the Exodus, the time of the Exodus, that actually is given in by the Apostle Paul as a sign for the end times. What happened in the deliverance of Israel is going to happen in the deliverance of the faithful in our day.
Right.
Now, in Exodus, it says, "The Lord brought an east wind upon the land, and the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt."
Right.
They covered the face of the whole earth. They did eat everything, the herb of the land, all the fruit of the trees. There remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt was a religious system that claimed to follow the truth, but it was full of false religion, false practices. And the judgment of God came upon Egypt by bringing an east wind with the locusts to destroy everything the Egyptians had. Now, later, Israel also went away from God. Israel was given the job of converting the whole world with the knowledge, not converting so much as illuminating the whole world with the knowledge of the coming Messiah. But they failed. They wanted to become like the worst rest of the world. And so God sent a judgment upon a wayward people. And the scripture says, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord, and shall spoil the land of Israel. The land of Israel did evil in the sight of God, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian. That's the Arabs. Midians are the Arabs.
Right.
And the Midianites and the Amalekites, the Arabs, who are mostly Muslims today, the children of the East, they came up against Israel.
Right.
Now, the Muslims are called the people of the East, the children of the East, the men of the East. That's where they come from. And these children of the East are called locusts for their great numbers. So it's interesting that we've got two historical precedents. Egypt, a false religious system, and Israel, who had rebelled against God even while claiming to follow him. And now, in the final time, a message comes to those who did know God but have turned away from him. That's Christian Europe, Christian America, and says, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, ye drinkers of wine." Now, you linked it up with Revelation. It talks about the wine, the false teachings of Babylon. Babylon is fallen because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the fornication actually is the union of church with state, an illicit union, where the church uses the state to enforce its corrupt laws. And the east wind is going to come against it. The east wind is called the wind of the Lord. And the locusts are called my great army from the east. So
Wow. There's
just an interesting tie-up with further scripture and world events of the past, which are to be repeated. So Solomon said, nothing new comes under the sun. What has been will happen again.
Right, and people don't think that Israel will fall. Israel, I don't think, will fall from a typical invasion because Israel's armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. But Israel has Iron Dome and many technologies that they've been funded for by our government, by our military, to protect them against incoming missiles. But they can't protect themselves against an EMP. And one EMP weapon at 100,000 feet or 8 miles high over Israel would knock everything electronically out, and they would just get one phone call of, you know, capitulate and we will bring peace. And you'll see the Vatican and the United States government, if it is Obama, if he is to get a third term, remember, he'll get a third term if he declares martial law after terrorism between now and November. I think it's highly likely that you'll see Israel capitulate, just like Barry Chalmers has said. He doesn't see Israel surviving much longer, and he doesn't think their leaders are really, they're globalists. Look at, Netanyahu and Lieberman. These people are not for Israel, they're for globalism, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. And they're actually Vatican-trained, every one of them.
They're all Vatican-controlled. Many of them are even trained by the Vatican.
Yes. Now, I believe what you're saying could be the scenario, an EMP attack. Now, Muslims have already had several successful tries with EMP attacks.
Do you know how long the Iranians have been doing research on EMP warfare? 26 years.
So they know that this can be the most successful weapon.
Well, they don't need a large missile. They just need an EMP delivery missile. Then they don't destroy all the ancient sites or whatever. They're considered humanitarian when they bring, quote, peace, and they bring about a Palestinian state, and they even allow the Jews to start a blood sacrifice. Because remember, there's lots of Jews that practice their faith in Iran. People don't know that the mullahs tolerate the Jews in Iran. And many of the Iranian Jews are very much against the war with Israel. People don't know that, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't understand that Shiite Islam and the Jewish faith, the current Sabbatean Satanistic Jewish faith that's Babylonian, are not inconsistent. They have many of the same belief systems, don't they?
Oh, yes, it's the same power controlling both of them.
Right. The people don't know that. The current Jewish faith is not the ancient Hebrews of the Bible or Moses.
Far from it.
We have a question from Wes in Idaho. He has a question regarding Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. Wes, go ahead and ask your question from Jonathan.
Yeah, I wanted to know what you feel Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 means. What? Who are the Jews? Who are? Who is Israel? The people Israel? If the Bible, I don't know.
Those who say they are Jews but are not. Are you speaking of that text?
Correct.
Actually, when Jesus came, he united both Jews and Gentiles. That was his purpose, and that's why he sent his disciples out to the whole world. Now, when you become a Christian, you are an Israelite in God's eyes. You are grafted into the branch of Israel. The true Israel are those who follow Christ. In fact, the scripture does say that they're not all Israel that are of Israel. It's those of the promise, those who accept the promise of the Messiah who are Israel.
Right.
And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Right.
And people who are physical Jews and do not accept Jesus are cut off from spiritual, I guess we can call it spiritual or symbolic Israel.
Right.
Israel today envelops all who are to be saved in God's kingdom because of Jesus' sacrifice and accepting that.
Right, but it also says that one third of genetic Jews will turn back when they see a return imminent and then become believers. The way I like to think of it this way is the church is grafted in as a substitutional Ephraimic or one of the other house of Israel, and the Jews, which is the half-tribe of Benjamin, which is to build up the church of, and the Jews, which meant praiser, which is why God inhabits his praises. He came back literally as a child on earth, incarnated the wisdom and the knowledge and the wholeness of the God of the Father in Yeshua Jesus, that the current Jews are, in fact, not, this is not replacement theology, it's to say that there are Torah Jews that are believers in Messiah, Messianic Jews, or Torah Jews. They're, in a sense, the really ancient Jewish house of Judah, which is a half-tribe of Benjamin as well, and the Ephraimites are all the Ephraimic tribes of North Europe, America, and the West that now are in apostasy but are turning back toward the Most High God. They represent the church as well as lineal genetic Ephraimites of all the 10 tribes that are repenting and returning to God's house.
Both together, yes. The two sticks are united.
So they're not replacement theology here. It's a restoration theology.
Restoration, yes. In other words, once we accept Christ, we become part of Israel along with the physical who accept it.
Exactly. I hope that answers Wes's questions. We talked about also the food laws. Paul softened the laws so people could enter the church, but then recognize the wisdom of them. I mentioned this in the past, although people find it a little shocking. Pigs were unclean because they're actually, and scientists have discovered this, the blood group major minor antigens are identical between pigs and humans. It's because pigs are part human and part wild ancient boar. They were genetically engineered by an ancient society. Tens of thousands of years ago, they were actually genetically engineered with technology more advanced than we at least publicly admit to today. It's up there with the technologies of CRISPR they announced last fall in Britain. And people also have to understand filter feeders pull up biotoxins from the environment. Right now, if you eat filter feeder fish, because the Chinese refuse to buy our scallops and clams and so on along the west coast of British Columbia, Washington State, Oregon, California, and the Baja California, because of the radiotoxins from Fukushima concentrated. So China, even though they have toxic water that they grow seafood and sell back to Canada, they will refuse to buy our filter feeders because they know filter feeders are toxic and dangerous. And the Red Sea regularly had red tide, which is dinoflagellates that produce domoic acid that permanently is a a toxin to the non-competitive inhibition of the cholinergic receptor can cause permanent brain damage of your hippocampus and your brain. So, there's a wisdom to what God said, just like the wisdom to the Sabbath. You don't let the land rest, you can't get mineralization, so you can't have healthy food with vitamin content that prolongs your life and expresses your genetics. Because without genes expressed by the trace minerals and a re-energized land that is given a year of Sabbath rest, you can't regenerate your genetics, can you?
No, you can't. Now, all God's laws, they're not, I've heard them called a law of bondage by some people who resist them. But right. No, you're free. You're free from sickness. You're free from spiritual problems. You observe God's laws. They're like a fence around you. They protect you, and they give you joy and peace and happiness.
Well, give you an example. Someone says to me, Dr. Deagle, my doctor's given me half a dozen drugs for my diabetes. And I take, hundreds of units of insulin. I said, can you help me? I said, yes, but you're going to have to repent of things you've taken from the doctor. We're going to have to lower your blood insulin, your blood glucagon, your blood cortisol. We're going to have to increase your level of IGF-1 because insulin directly blocks it. And most of the complications, including dementia, heart failure, and other problems, are caused by the fact that your insulin actually blocks IGF-1, made by your liver in response to growth hormone from your brain. And we have technologies like microdose growth hormone, mountain red velvet, supernox to release nitric oxide and release growth hormone. The problem is people have to start realizing if you eat food that's made from GMO, which is toxic, what I call unclean food, if you eat food that has been transgenically created with genes like the OXY513A gene, if you do toxic things to your body, there's a recompense, there's a judgment. And the problem is, you see, these ancient laws were given to the Israelis to have a Sabbath rest of the land, to not eat filter feeder fish, and as a blanket law, mainly because there were so often red tides in the ocean, in the Red Sea there, and to not touch unclean food, which is pork. Interesting,
It was given for our protection.
Right, both physically and spiritually.
Yes.
And, it's hard for people to accept that. The ancient Jews understood this very clearly. Even Muslims don't touch pork because they knew it was an ancient proscription that they carried forward, including the Sabbath. That's why, interestingly, the Muslims are Sabbath keepers, believe it or not, and they look on the sun keepers as evil.
Yes.
You've mentioned that before in your videos. The tonsure on the head of the monks through the Middle Ages were solar worshippers or worshippers of Apollo or Apollonius, the sun god.
That's right.